lesson this morning is on the parable of the weeds. And I would like to read this parable, Matthew 13, 24 through 30 is the parable itself. And then later there's an explanation that Jesus gives about what this parable means. Because parables are one of those things, they're word pictures. They're word pictures that sometimes we have to think for a while before we really get it. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did these weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered. "Because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat also. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barns.'" Notice in this parable, the Son of Man, who is identified, wait, before I go there, let's have the parable explained in Jesus' own words. I don't want to put words in his mouth. Verse 36 to 43. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. This is Jesus. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels and will weed out of the kingdom everyone who causeth everything that causes sin and all who are evil. He will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Okay, the Son of Man in this parable, the Son of Man is Jesus. And he's the one that sows good seed. And if you're like me, you're asking yourself, am I good seed? Or am I the weeds? And that always clicks, that tends to click in our emotions, in our hearts. We look at ourselves and we see this vast seascape of imperfections. We're not perfect. And we're like, wait. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And we're like, am I good seed? Look what I think sometimes. Look what I do sometimes. And we start to wonder if we are bad seed. And then this thing called guilt kicks in. Boom, guilt. And guilt always reviews things. It reviews past mistakes. It reviews current mistakes. And it even thinks about future mistakes, because we're thinking, I know I can't live perfectly. I know I have issues. I know I have problems. I know I have tendencies that are not so good. And what that does, that makes us question what kind of seed we are. Am I a good seed? Am I a bad seed? And we go to church and we sing and we have a good time and we do our devotions and we do the good thing. Okay, I'm a good seed. And then we fall into a pit. The Bible describes falling into sin sometimes as falling into a pit. And we find ourselves, we fell in a pit. And we, am I good seed or bad? We'd like to get that question answered. But first, let's look at what's involved in this parable. The enemy. What is an enemy? Somebody describe to me an enemy. What do they do? What's an enemy? Oh, you guys don't have enemies in life. Okay, I'm pretty good. Number one, they're against you. What drives them to be against you? There's a word I'm looking for. What drives an enemy to be against you?
Jealousy.
Jealousy, yeah. That's very true. Often jealousy.
Hate.
Jealousy, hate. I wrote down a definition of an enemy. One who hates me and seeks my destruction. So the one that's sowing the bad seed in the field, he hates you and he's seeking your destruction. Why? Satan is identified as the one who sows the bad seed in the field. Why does he hate you? He hates you because you remind him of God. Because believers are God's children. He hates you because you remind him of God, because we as humans are made in God's image. And when we accept Jesus into our lives, when we recognize that we're sinners, when we recognize that we are imperfect, when we recognize that we fail, when we recognize that we fall into pits sometimes, when we recognize that and turn to Jesus. Let me read something to you. Jesus himself covered himself with our shame. Jesus covered himself with our shame so that we could be lavished in his grace. Grace, which is undeserved favor, that's given to us. Jesus covered himself with our shame, our failure, our falling in the pit, so that we could be lavished with his grace. That's what the Son of Man, who sowed the good seed, does. When he went to the cross, all our shame, all our failure, All that was nailed to the cross with him. It was poured out on him. The wrath of God was poured out on him for all the things that we've done, so that we could be lavished in his grace. What's lavished mean? What does lavished mean? I'll give you an illustration. We just got this cute little puppy. Now, this cute little puppy, a cockapoo, he has brown over his eyes, little brown chest and black hair, curly, cutest little thing. He's not always good. No, he's not always good. He chews slippers, he drags pine cones into his little kennel in the house, and chews them up, and seeds go everywhere, and he does other things that puppies do. In the house sometimes. But you know, that puppy gets lavished. And especially when we take him outside and he does what he's supposed to do outside. I just grab that guy and I just love all over him. Oh, good boy, good boy. I just rub his hair and scratch his ears and, you know, the whole thing. That's lavishing love on that little puppy, even though he's a rascal. And he's not perfect. And God, the Son of Man, he died for us. And our shame was poured out on him so he could lavish us. When you know you're being held by the Son of Man, Jesus, and you know you're being loved on by him, it just feels so good. He's scratching. It just feels so good. I'd like to put some biblical teeth to what I just said. What the Son of Man does, I'm saying he lavishes us. He loves us. Luke 19, 9 to 10. This is the story of one of my favorite Bible characters, because I can identify with him. Little Zacchaeus, the tax collector who was cheating all the people he was collecting taxes from. And he saw Jesus was coming. And this little guy, he climbs up in a sycamore tree waiting for Jesus to come. And Jesus saw him up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, today I'm coming to your house. And then, of course, little Zacchaeus, he said, he was just so touched by Jesus' love for him. He said, Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times that amount. Look what Jesus said to him. 9:9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The neat thing is that every one of us sitting here, and if you're standing, you too, everybody was once lost. Every single one of us. And the Son of Man, the one who sowed the good seed, came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's leave any of us out. None of us. Matthew 9, 1 to 7. A little story here to make the point of what Jesus does, the Son of Man does, the sower of the good seed. Jesus stepped into a boat. He crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart. Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up and take your mat and go home." Jesus, the Son of Man, is saying, "I have power on earth to forgive sins." Son of Man is a term that emphasizes the Jesus human element, that he was in flesh. He understood our temptations, our failures, our pain, our difficulty, our tears, everything. He experienced temptations, every temptation we experience. He knows about it. He experienced it himself. And he's the one that's saying, "I have power on earth to forgive sins." And I don't believe that there's any sin that is too big for God to forgive through the blood of Jesus. Okay, let's do Matthew 20:28 yet. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve us. To serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the Son of Man. He wants to lavish us with his love, forgive us, to serve us. He's aware of everything that goes on in our lives. He knows us. It's like, I often thought about this. What must it be like for Jesus to know us? The Son of Man who planted the good seed, to know us. It's like, I thought about this just recently. It's like he's inside us looking out of our eyes. What would it be like to, Matt, what would it be like if I jump in your body and see out of your eyes? Wow. That'd be different, wouldn't it? But that's how intimately he knows us. That's how much he... Well, he won't try to hide anything from him. Not going to do any good. Because he knows us that intimately. Okay, that's the introduction. Description of the enemy and the Son of Man, who's the two sowers. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, His enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. Now, let me tell you something about the weeds that are involved in this story. The weeds were known as, the King James puts it as tares, but the term that's more commonly used for that type of weed is darnel. D-A-R-N-E-L, darnel. And when darnel sprouts, the first stage is it looks exactly like wheat. It mimics wheat. And it grows up with the wheat. So as the wheat is coming up, the darnel is coming up with it. And the farmer, he looks out at his field and say, oh, he says, oh, love, peace, joy, look, I have a wonderful crop this year, except half of it's bad seed. And the other half is wheat. Looks exactly the same. And later on, as the wheat goes to head, something really, really weird happens. The darnel, the head, sticks straight up in the air and has the seed head up here, straight up in the air. And the wheat, which is produces a little more grain, it produces a heavier grain and a fuller head, the wheat bows down, bows over. It bows in the field as if bowing to a maker. The darnel, which is sown by the enemy, it stands straight up in the air. It doesn't bow. It's like this wheat has no humility at all. The wheat, it bows over in the field because it's just so loaded with good fruit. And we as believers, we should be wheat. We should bow before our maker and recognize that everything that's in this seed head, everything that we've produced in our life is because we have been lavished in the grace of God. And we should bow before our Father and recognize how much we were dependent on Him throughout our lives as we come to the harvest point in our lives when we are about to be harvested for eternity. I just think of the older saints who, as they go into eternity, their head of wheat is full, bowed down before the Father. Here I offer to you, and the seeds, if they're not harvested, they would fall down and produce another crop. The darnel, straight up in the air, it doesn't bow. And that's how the harvesters in this parable, they were able to identify the darnel. They were told not to rip it out early because, number one, they didn't know it was there until it was time to go to head. And if they would have went at that point and tried to rip them all out, it would have been. So here's this field. The good seed is bowed down in humility. And the other seed is straight up in the air, the bad seed, unbowed. And the harvesters simply went out and cut off the ones that were not bowed. And you carry this parable a little further to Jesus' illustration or explanation of this parable. The weeds that were unbowed were collected because they were of the devil. They were easy to go out and chop them off and bind them up, and they were burned. And this parable is saying that's what's going to happen at the end of the age. God's church will be examined. The world will be examined. And those who have not bowed before the Father, those who are standing in the field straight up, no humility, no honor, no recognition that God's been involved in their lives or given them anything or done anything for them, Those are the ones that are sown by the enemy. Pride, lack of humility, self-sufficiency, you can name it. But let's be the wheat bowed over. Something else. It's extremely dangerous to mix wheat and darnel. Extremely dangerous. This morning, I had this new kind of bread at home. It's called chocolate chip bread. It's like raisin bread, except it has these little chocolate chips in it. And I popped that thing in one of them this morning. I popped it in the toaster, and it got right and nice and toasty. It got hot, and I put some butter on it. Oh, it was so good. What would have happened to me if that piece of chocolate chip bread had some darnel in it? Darnel mixed with wheat. This is from botanical.com. It's a website that talks about plant life and that type of thing. And it had a section on darnel. Here's what they said. When eaten in hot bread, darnel produces drunkenness in the form of general trembling, followed by an inability to walk, slurred speech, vomiting, followed by stupidity. In other words, darnel is a poison. These tares, these weeds planted in with the wheat are a poison. In fact, the word darnel, that's used in the English language, its origin was from an old French word that meant stupefied. The Romans said it eventually resulted in blindness. And they had a word that darnel, the word darnel was used to describe a dim-sighted person who lived on darnel. Nutshell. Darnel is a noxious weed, and I have a list of 11 things that it does when mixed with hot bread or any other food, actually, but they say hot bread just intensifies the effect. Sleepiness, drowsiness, hypnotic episodes, convulsions, intoxication and drunkenness, trembling, inability to walk, hindered speech, vomiting, stupefaction, loss or diminished sight, and death. We don't want to be darnel. Let's bow in humility before the Father. We don't want to be darnel. And we also want to recognize darnel when it goes to head. And we see people who do not bow, who do not demonstrate humility in their lives, who demonstrate a pride, who you just get the sense they're not really seeking after God. Our job as believers, and I'm talking in relation to the church, you know, Satan, he's a great imitator. He likes to mix stuff in and imitate what God's doing. He plants false Christians. He promotes false growth. He introduces false doctrine, introduces questions that we shouldn't even be asking about the Word and what God said. He's a great imitator of the good things God's doing. It's our job. If there's somebody, God give us grace, God give us humility in doing this, but if there's somebody who exhibits all the character qualities of Darnell in the field, and the parable says the field is this world. Think about people you work with. Think about your neighbors. Think about Satan even plants people in churches. Yeah, he does. And as we identify them, if we approach them with humility, remember, we're bowed over. As the fruit comes in our lives, we bow before the Father. And we recognize that, but for the grace of God, I would be Darnell. And in humility, we become come beside those people. We get to know them first. And, you know, getting to know people, it's hard. Different personality trait people, different personalities and people. Some people can quickly get to know people. Others, it takes a little more time and effort. It takes a dedicated push and to get into people's lives. You have to dedicate yourself and push yourself to do it. That's me. Other people, snap, snap, snap. But be that as it may, all of us should be seeking to minister to Darnell. Because that's why we're still here. That's why it's not the end of the age yet. Because there's still Darnell that can be converted to wheat. And my God can do that. As we introduce people to Christ, they've been living a Darnell life all their life. I know I'm extrapolating on this parable a little bit, but I just feel that that's the reason we're still here, because there's still people that God is gathering in, people that he's changing, and he uses us in that process. So that's what the parable's speaking to me. Read it for yourselves, and God may give you some other avenues, other ideas from this parable, but that's what I got as I was studying, that we can help people. Church, let's do it. Let's identify people who need Jesus. Teach them what it means to be humble. Teach them what it means to feel forgiven. Teach them what it means to know Jesus. Teach them how much he loves them and wants to ravish them. Worship team, you can come forward. I'd like to leave a challenge with all of us here, myself included. Let's dedicate ourselves to getting to know people. Those of us like me, it's hard to kind of, a little harder to do that. Push, push, push. Let's get to know people. And we'll find the people who are vulnerable to God. I love that term, vulnerable to God. They're starting to question the life they're living. They're starting to feel maybe some unhappiness. They're starting to feel maybe some, like, what's this all about? What's life all about? Get to know them. And those, as you get to know them, those think feelings that they're having, eventually will come out. They're starting to question the meaning of life. But let's start with getting to know people. And if God lays somebody on your heart that you know that you can be effective in their lives, you know God can use you in the life of individuals that you know, then I just ask you to start before you even make the push to introduce yourself to them or get a little deeper into their lives, get to know them a little better. You better pray for them first. Better start with prayer. And this morning, the altar is open for anything personal that you want to talk to God about. to Jesus, or if God brings somebody to your mind, somebody that has been living a Darnell life, unbowed before the Father, just come forward with that name and pray. Or you can pray at your seats too, but there's always value. There's always the invitation here at Maranatha to come forward and pray for people. It's an indication of your love for those people and sincerity. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. And I pray that you will help each one of us here identify the people that you have written down as people that we can impact for the kingdom. And God, I believe that there's people like that in all of our lives, all of us who name the name of Christ. We all have people that we can get to know. Perhaps now they're just casual friends or acquaintances. Help us get deeper into our lives while there's still time. Before the end of the age harvest that's talked about in this parable, we have opportunity. You're still using your people to bring people to Jesus and salvation. So use us, Lord. Use us. Amen.